At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Step into a world where ancient wisdom meets modern mysticism. Introducing the Gnostic Tarot, a powerful fusion of esoteric art and Gnostic themes designed for those who seek the ultimate gnosis. This mesmerizing deck, rich in symbolism, draws from the profound teachings of Gnosticism, serving as an ideal companion for meditation, reflection, and the exploration of spiritual realms. Whether you are a seasoned tarot enthusiast or new to the practice, the Gnostic Tarot caters to all, offering a portal to ancient wisdom and a tool for uncovering the hidden truths in your mystical journey. Unveil the mysteries, embrace the wisdom. The Gnostic Tarot is a timeless companion for your spiritual odyssey. Take a journey with Gnostic luminaries and learn their stories in a visually stunning manner. From Sophia to the Gnostic Christ, their journey is your self-discovery. Choose from the basic deck or the deluxe version, which includes a beautifully crafted journey book and a magnetic storage box, ensuring that your Gnostic Tarot remains a treasured companion on your spiritual quest. The Gnostic Tarot is an original and collaborative effort between Miguel Connor of Aeon by Gnostic Radio and Matthew Schmitz of Altrusian Grace Media. Visit our website to embark on your journey today. Synkrasis Publishing, where ancient wisdom and modern mysticism converge.
Happy heresies and welcome to the Desert of the Real. Welcome to Aeon Byte on this Mercury day. My name is Miguel Connor, and as always, I am your Pompidus of Gnosis, and I am so excited you have manifested here at the virtual Alexandria. And I'm also very excited about our guest today, somebody that will open a lot of doors and open a lot of eyes, and that is Rachel White. Rachel, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I have to tell you, as a fellow tarot deck creator, I've made two decks. One of them is a tarot deck. That intro, I'm going to get that. I've been looking for a new deck.
Great.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm not even kidding. I love that stuff. And like Hermes and those characters, I totally was seeing what you guys did there, and I like it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, it just sort of came to us. My wife is the tarot expert, and it was just one of those synchronicities, and we wanted to create this sort of new design that combined everything from sketches, everything. We did prayers and meditations. We did throw AI in there. We wanted to make it this modern, syncretic, very much like the Gnostics did and the Hermetists did, just throw everything in the kitchen sink and let Thoth Hermes decide how it's going to come out. But
yeah,
we
can talk about my deck, but speaking of the three-faced Hermes, I really think the Emerald Tablet's content is incredibly relevant for this moment. Mm-hmm. It's been coming up a lot. I do spiritual transformation coaching work one-on-one with clients. You'd be shocked how he's shown up to the party, or maybe not. Maybe you're very tuned into that, but it feels like that era of the what did he call the 144,000 souls, the beings of light here? Mm. Or there's a terminology like that. Seems to be a thing right now, Miguel. Yeah, and my tarot deck, I worked with an artist named Emma Cook. She's actually started as a client of mine when I was living in Chicago, and a friend. And since then, we've made a flower essence deck as well, like an herbalism deck that you can use as an oracle deck, or if you're trying to learn about non-psychedelic plant medicine. I know when people hear plant medicine now, they're like... yeah, let's go. And I'm like, well, we can do that too. But also there's like flowers and herbs and stuff that are cool. Yeah.
Very cool. I know, you're right. I've been banging on this show that this is the age of Hermes, the age of the trickster. We are in a transition time. Humanity is changing, and only the god of doorways, the god of the hinge belongs to Hermes, will get us through the other side. And I'm not being like, oh, you know, Kali apocalypse. I mean,
no,
just look at our history. Just look at other times in history where we change. There's always the trickster, and Hermes, the god of magic and change and transformation, is there ain't no the Aeon of Horus on the way. I hate to disappoint people.
I've been writing. I love writing on Substack, you know, and I do weekly kind of card pulls and previews. I just think Substack, for whatever reason, the energy there doesn't feel as terrible to me as it does on Instagram or these other places. But I've been writing a lot about liminality. I've referred to this year, 2025, particularly after the Lunar New Year, when we enter the year of the wood snake, as the year of the trickster. And one of the things I've done is I've tried to step into asymmetry, liminality, and hyper novelty whenever possible. So the crazier the idea, trying to go for it, I invited a comedian on the podcast because, you know, I took a risk. I sent a video he did. He did an address to Elon Musk that went very viral, and it was called Dear Elon. And I sent it to a client and friend of mine, and I had no idea her son worked for this man for many years. They're good friends. They have matching tattoos. And I was like, I wrote him a letter, maximum trickster energy. I actually quoted the Winnebago, Native American Winnebago trickster cycle for him in there. There's a line that's like, trickster eats own anus, trickster puts penis in box, box goes over river, you know, just really hardcore shamanic trickster stuff. So I'm waiting to hear it back, but I'm glad that you said that, because it's been coming up for me. My clients' synchronicities are wild right now. They seem to have a sense of humor to them. Yeah. And the fairies, man, nature spirits, elementals, I've never seen them this active ever.
No.
And they're tricksters in their own right. Like, we've recently had to reinstitute some boundaries here at the house because they started leaving me things on my bedside table, which is very sweet, but it's also very creepy if you're a psychic and you're trying to maintain boundaries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. And yeah. And from the native lore, the trickster's job is to change you. And you either change or you are destroyed. And of course, you know, who wants to change? I don't want to change my habits and grow. I just want a chill life. But this is not the era for that. This is
either your bad ideas die or you do. Maybe not literally, but I'm telling you, the theme in the last few months leading up to the wood snake year, which is coming in our hemisphere, I think January 30th. Is seismic tectonic plate shifts of releasing things, you know, changing behaviors, changing dynamics with other people. It's been a lot of contraction expansion, a lot of undulations, which is very serpentine. I think people are going to be a little shallow about the wood snake here. They're like, yeah, you shed your old skin. I'm like, it's the snake is associated with trickster medicine. It's associated with Prometheus. And this is really about creating void to expand your receiving vessel, and you may not get what you think you're going to get. You know, I wrote a post on Substack called The Games That Non-People Play. It's an homage to John Keel. I don't know if you ever read Prophecies, but that was the name of one of his chapters when he was just furious with the phone company and just these people coming in and out of his apartment. It's very funny, and it will induce paranoia. So heads up, if you read that book, that's how you catch paranoid schizophrenia. But I wrote that post, and as I kept trying to write it, one day I went out in the backyard, right? There was like this ruckus. We have chickens here in Austin. And I went out there. There was a coyote and a roadrunner in my backyard. And there's a fence. And I live 10 minutes from, you know, the Google building. I'm not out in the country. It's Austin proper here. And the minute I saw the roadrunner and the coyote, I was like, oh my God, trickster time. Because it's the cartoon.
Right. And the Acme anvils and all that.
Yeah, it blew my mind that, like, they're being that funny about it. So
I don't know if you have thoughts on, like, what I'm open to any suggestions on how to step into this from people who do things other than what I do. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how we we manage and navigate the trickster energy in a beneficial way.
Well, I think it's always going to be the same old, same old. Take the inner journey and listen. The trickster and your soul has a mission. Your ego is going to fight it. If you listen to what your role is and you're willing to alchemically transform, which is our destiny, I can't say everything's going to be all right, but you know, it is what it is, you know.
When you say chemically transform, that's interesting. Have you noticed the energetic physiological alchemy lately?
No, what do you mean? Shifts.
I've really been
feeling things that I'm fairly certain energy-based in my physical body a lot. And I had a dream the other night that, you know, James Fox, the guy who made that UFO documentary about Brazil, and then the other one called The Phenomenon, he was in it. And he's not like a figure in my mind. I'm not a big, you know,
into that. And he ran up to me
and he grabbed my arms and he said, you know, Archangel Gabriel came up to me in my kitchen and he told me to tell you that what you're feeling right now is this energy moving between the space between all your cells. And you have to let that happen. And I was like, I woke up and I was like,
WTF a little bit.
I did not know what to do with that. It's still simmering, I guess. But that's been a theme of this concept of people not just getting activated or awakened. You know, those are all terms that have been used so much. They almost don't mean anything to me anymore, kind of a thing. Like, I saw an angel number. It's my activation. It's like, you'd be on the ground if it was your activation. You'd be begging for it to stop. But it does seem to be coming alive in people's energy bodies and bodies. And a lot of people are reaching out to me saying, I thought it was anxiety, but it's not. So I don't know if you have any background in that or thoughts on that. I'm all ears.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we are changing and it's, there's so many shifts going on right now, astrological, historical. I mean, it's all, again, we are in a transition of the ages, so it's going to happen. And the internet has let the cat out of the bag. So it's almost, in a way, it's hard. I'm sure you agree. It's both harder and easier to control the sheep, right? So,
oh, yeah.
There's splits happening with that. And I wrote a post called Splits Happen or The Quickening. I actually think I took that from Art Bell and I gave him credit for it. Art Bell, was it Coast to Coast Radio? I think that's the name of it. He had a great supernatural kind of occult radio show. And he interviewed Malachi Martin for several hours. And, you know, Martin was a Catholic exorcist, wrote a lot of great books, including Hostage to the Devil. I interviewed his protege. I'm friends with him, Ralph Sarchi. I don't know if you're familiar with former New York City Police Sergeant Ralph Sarchi, who is a demonologist, exorcist, and hilarious. He's got angry gym teacher energy. But the idea of the quickening is these contractions as we get closer to a birth of something. And I think people are choosing one direction or the other quite precipitously. Trains leaving the station going in opposite directions. Some people are gaining awareness, you know, allowing themselves to kind of get cracked open a little in a positive way. And to your point, like taking the inner journey and listening, I think people are noticing or doing that. And then a whole bunch of other people, some of them quite surprising to me, I would say, are burrowing deeper in, putting the blinders on. And it's a real free will moment of like, are you strong enough to bear witness? What are you going to do with this free will? Are you going to ascend into gnosis? Or are you going to go back into the cave?
That's it. In a nutshell, in a way, same as it ever was. Quoting the song about Talking Heads, the game has not changed. The solutions haven't changed. It's just a little stranger time. But, oh, let me bring in Graham. Graham, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I was going to say, what I'm going to throw in here is I always try to remind myself, apocalypse is unveiling. It's not Armageddon. Though we can get Armageddon if that's our choice.
Thanks. Well, isn't Armageddon
the root of it? The Hebrews, Heg Megiddon. It's a literal mountain in Israel where they say the last battle is going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's where many of the great battles over the years have been fought.
Yeah, and yeah, like you.
I've always reminded people, I actually like Apocalypse. I like the scales falling from eyes, but I've also at my old age now realized that that's not how everybody's wired. And that's been a tough one. You know, how much of this do you share? How much of it can be received? Who do you talk to, when, how? And then how much are you just allowing it, you know, to be spirit's job of communicating and maybe sometimes taking a back seat?
Exactly. And I think the other thing, too, is the idea in this trickster age is to embrace ambiguity. As humans, we want to understand the patterns. We want certainty. Nothing wrong with that. As kids, we want to know when the next meal is. But we have to learn to embrace the great unknown because we just don't know. And that's where the magic happens, really.
It is, and it is scary.
It's, you know, for me, having transitioned to doing like shamanic work full time at the beginning of COVID, March 2020, it's been a weird 5 years. You know, when I worked in a corporate job, I never worried about, you know, like I never had any scarcity energy, even though I grew up really poor. And something about this last 5 years re-triggered a lot of that, and being a small business owner, trying to be ethical in it as well and honest and transparent. And you're like, you really don't know where your money is going to come from.
You have ideas, but you don't know that.
And to be in that void sometimes or in the fluidity of that has been personally very challenging for me. I joked with my husband the other day, if I can learn how to relax this year, which is my primary focus, it's good for psychic work. It's good for abundance. It's good for everything. But if I can learn to relax, I'm going to feel like I've been training with a weighted vest on, you know, like hiking up in the canyons with 20 pounds on my torso. And I got to get used to things feeling easy again, especially with our friend Synchronicity back. I think it took a 5-year hiatus ever since COVID. I don't know. Did you notice that? Like very little synchronicity, serendipity, flow was not as present or readily available. It was weird.
Yeah. Well, it was such a shock to the system. So I think there was a lot of, probably a lot of realignment that had to be done and a lot of hard choices. Like you said, people had to pivot. Am I going to go inward? Am I going to fulfill my life's desire? Am I going to take a risk since Earth is at a tipping point and everything is a risk? And I think, now it's sort of settled, and now it's time for to put on our big boy pants and decide, what are we going to do through this apocalypse?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too, with the
fires in California. I have friends and clients that live right there. Oh, wow. So I was texting them. They're all fine, by the way, thank God. Or at least they were last night. They were going to keep me posted. And they had contingency plans and things like that, the places to go. But I had asked my husband 2 weeks ago to get us new fire extinguishers in our home. And he goes, why? And I go, the wood snake year in the Chinese calendar brings the first bit of fire element energy in a fire cycle. So after the wood snake year is going to be the fire horse, by the way, and then it's fire for a little bit. But wood and fire are tough.
And a combination, however
subtle. And so things like fires erupting, but then also creative fire erupting, and also this sort of inconstant access to the spiritual fire element, like in alchemy or if you do any of that work. So it's intriguing to me that we're already seeing that. And I feel terribly for everything going on there. But I also think, to your point, these are cycles. It's elemental. I really think the ancient Chinese nailed stuff when they came up with the I Ching, feng shui, and
Chinese astrology.
Something about it just slaps different, where it's like, oh yeah, last year was obviously a wood dragon year. I mean, most dragon year I've seen in a long time, right? And snake is little dragon, and things for us to look out for. It's very trickster. It's going to be a time of unmasking,
people telling on themselves,
learning, and like spontaneous eruption of arcane knowledge, information, secrets. But the flip side of that is there's going to be a double down effort on deception and
manipulation.
Efforts to control top down are going to dissipate. It's just not that energy. The trickster doesn't allow
that, really.
But it's a year to kind of be open-minded, get a fire extinguisher, maybe grow some of your own food, make sure you got some water, but also like, don't get married to things. See if you can sit in the in-between with stuff, whether it's psychic information or something you saw on social media, let it breathe a little bit and see what, if it shapeshifts, right? Because trickster energy is shapeshifting as well.
Yeah, well said indeed. Yes, and for the audience, yeah, Rachel White has joined us. If you have any question for her, please super chat them so that Graham can get to it. And as always, please support the show. You know the drill, like, subscribe. Any sort of support helps keep the lights on of the Pleroma. So I guess the question is, how did you become a heretic? You into this early on, or?
Yeah, I started reading tarot when I was 9. Just instantly gravitated to it. Was weird kind of all the way through. Was really drawn as early as 6th and 7th grade to Kabbalah. Because I think if you're studying tarot, and of course I, you know, had the Crowley deck, and you start seeing certain things, and you're like, oh, what's this Kabbalah stuff? And even when I had graduated college and I was working in corporate real estate, I went to Spertus Institute of Chicago to learn biblical Hebrew so I could understand tarot better and Kabbalah and things like that. So yeah, I was weird before it was cool. It's so funny. I was not on social media until I self-published the Totem Tarot deck. Because I was like, now at this point, I kind of have a fiduciary responsibility to myself to have social media. Right. And I was stunned to see how popular like the woo had gotten during COVID. But I was also instantly devastated that it was sort of that like simulacra, Sedona, white wine breath, like love and light stuff. And that people were really snake charmed by that. And so my push right now with what I do, my business is called Totem Readings, and I do one-on-one. All the work I do is one-on-one, nothing is group. And it's just because I think everyone is so unique and different. And part of what I try and do is like figure out what you are. And I just don't know how you do that at scale. Maybe one day, maybe we'll find out. But I also have a podcast like you do, and it's called The Skeptical Shaman. And I have people on like Mr. Alan Greenfield from Hellier. And others to dig into like the meat of this, that these are, you know, Chinese astrology is something like 5,000 years old that we know of. We're standing on the shoulders of giants. So this isn't just like, you know, I see 111, it must mean good things kind of tripe. And then also get into dialogue around using discernment and skepticism and not being afraid to do that. Because you have to use discernment with the realm of spirit. Anyone who's a real practitioner will tell you that. There's all kinds of things out there. And then with, you know, practitioners, gurus and the like, the ones with the most followers and the most money, seemingly, it doesn't mean they're the best at it. It doesn't mean they're trustworthy. I just interviewed someone else named Mark Vicente. I don't know if you've seen The Vow on HBO about Nexium.
Yeah.
But he was Keith Raniere's like best friend for 12, 15 years, something like that, ran Nexium with him, had no idea what it was, that he was branding women and harming women. And he just created a documentary. It's not out yet. It's about to be out, called Empathy Not Included, about spiritual abuse and covert narcissism and what he learned the hard way. I mean, before he was in Nexium, he was making movies like What the Bleep Do We Know about, yeah, you know, law of attraction and quantum physics. And in his mind, he kind of got sidetracked for a while looking for answers from the wrong people.
So that's sort of the
goal of what we do at Totem, is like the occult weird stuff is real. The woo is real. It's really powerful, but also learn to self-serve it as much as you can, or tune into your own intuition so that you're not getting caught up in something. You're not getting carried away by the wrong stream here.
Yeah, I think you put a very interesting challenge, because like you said, when the shaman goes out into the spirit world, he's going to meet a lot of scammers. The universe is full of trickster spirits and mind parasites and kelepath that are doing their nature. And then here in the material world, you've got, you know, flesh and blood people doing the same thing. It's an extension. So it's not an easy job being a shaman, is it?
It's not. We don't get
hazard pay. I'm working on that. I'm appealing to the governmental authorities to see if in this time of crisis we can get hazard pay. And it's interesting too, because the last year in particular, you know, I did a podcast tour And the vibe was very different from the one I did 3 years ago. Like, people are not doing well. You are very upbeat, but it's because you transmute things and you do real metaphysical stuff. I think like life coaches or astrologers or those people, they were really struggling and struggling financially and just feeling down. And almost every interview I did afterwards, they're like, how do you know when to give up or when to not give up? Like, this feels so heavy. And, you know, their clients coming to them were really in distress too. And even with the best of energetic protection, like, that's going to affect you if you're a human being. And I came away from it really feeling like anyone who can, within reason, without hurting themselves or their life, hang on right now, who's a sincere ethical practitioner, I really think we're through the gauntlet and now we get to be of service, and also of service in a way that's not so difficult. You know, I have no interest in being famous or rich, but I do have an interest in not grinding so hard in 2025. Doing a trust fall with the trickster. Yeah.
Well, you nailed it, Rachel. Being of service to others is how you get out of here. Like, the Gnostics were accused, oh, that we want to escape the universe. No, they wanted to bring these energies down and help others heal physically, mentally. That's what the shaman does. And as I'm writing in my Elvis book and my Bowie book that I'm working on, I wonder, well, why would he so drug addicts out of their mind? It's like, because if you look at tribes across the world, unfortunately, the shaman ends up broken, a drug addict, and just, you know, everything's down, but he's still helping the tribe. He's still in the zone. In a way, he's still happy. And that's what these figures do. It's like, at the end of the day, I want to help others in any way possible. So I think that's solution, but there's no guarantees you're going to survive.
There's no guarantees anybody's going to survive.
You can do everything by the book, behave yourself perfectly, et cetera, and get screwed. The 2008 financial crisis, I think, showed a lot of people in my former industry of corporate real estate that. But also, I have to tell you, I think digging into what helps you transmute what you're feeling if you're a practitioner really matters. And for me, for whatever reason, it's inappropriate comedy. And thankfully, I live in Austin, Texas now, and I can go, like, on Sunday, I'm going to go see Ari Shaffir for the fifth time live. Ari is very trickstery, classic trickster energy. The other night, I took two of my friends to see Yiannis Pappas perform. And just this idea of, like, elevating the profane and the sacred, and that you don't sometimes get the sacred without the profane, and having someone say something inappropriate, feeling yourself release and laugh at that, has been tremendously supportive for me. Unfortunately, I don't, you know, really use substances enough to be one of those rock stars. If I have a drink, I tend to get tired and want to go to bed. <It's> like, so I need something else that moves that energy. And for whatever reason, it's been comedy. And also, like I mentioned, that video where my client and friend had that serendipitous, synchronous connection to the comedian. The video is very serious. It's not delivered in a serious way, but he's being really sincere and really heartfelt. And he's saying really intelligent things. I don't agree with all of them, but he's really erudite, which is very Hermes of him. And it was inspiring for me to see somebody like kind of step into that. And I think we're going to see more comedians, jokesters, clowns, tricksters. Someone in the comments under it said, you know, it's bad when the court jester summons the king.
Yeah.
Amen.
So yeah, more of that, please. More of that, maybe less fires, less destructive fire element in the wood snake year, and more Promethean enlightenment. Yeah.
Well said. And yeah, and I think you hit it on the nail with the other aspect of how we get through this. I was reading Emile Cioran, the great pessimist. You know, Russ Cole from True Detective is kind of based on him. And he said that if a book doesn't reopen your wounds, it's not worth reading. And in fact, he said a good book should even cause new wounds. In other words, with good comedy or books, what it's hurting you or you're being offended, it's bringing attention to your trauma. And we all have trauma. Once we heal that trauma, we're on our way. We've integrated. Yeah. Then everything is...
You know, the wound thing is fascinating.
I am also writing about this on Substack. The post is going to be called The Bloom for a variety of reasons. I recently learned my husband,
quite synchronicity, quite synchronicity.
Is that a word? Did I just have a stroke? Anyway, I'm sure it's fine. After I had a really intense dream about childhood wounds and healing, and like I was with my dead grandparents, it was very sweet. Said, you know, there's a reason why people in most of the world, they leave their eggs out at room temperature because we have backyard chickens. And he goes, they don't wash them. And he goes, because they're covered in something called the bloom.
There's a very precise like microbiome seal over an egg that prevents
anything, any germs from getting into it. But the moment you wash it,
the clock starts
ticking.
And he goes, so you wash
them right before you cook them. And I was thinking, what an apropos metaphor for this energy right now. Because I feel like I'm getting broken. My bloom seal is getting cracked. And to this end, the other night I've been having wild dreams and astral travels like I've never had in my life. I was on stage doing comedy, like stand-up comedy. I have no desire to be a stand-up comedian at all. But I was doing it, but it wasn't funny. And it was just about how abusive my parents were and like screaming at people, making them listen and act like it was comedy. And I woke up and I was like, what the hell? Because I've been in therapy and stuff and I'm a shaman. I've had some energy work. I was like, why is this coming up? And I think it's to finally do the final defragging of the hard drive of the, as John Lilly called it, the human biocomputer, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to look at that file before you drop it in the garbage and permanently delete it. So I'm looking forward to my dreams being a little more chill, though. This bloom thing's not that much fun.
No, it's only getting started with you. The shadow has to be reintegrated. Not only has the trauma with your parents, but then you got to deal with the trauma of your ancestors. So the work never ends. It's not supposed to end.
There's, you know, potato famine, Prussia, Native Americans. I'm sure it's adorable in there.
You got plenty.
It was very chill for much of human history. Yeah. And the other thing, what this has shown me too, is that in here, cerebrally, logically, we understand like what things are or that we've processed them. And on that level, you probably have. And energy is just a different animal.
It has its own nature.
It needs its own healing. And so as effective as therapy can be, if you get a really good therapist, and I've benefited from that, I think things linger until you're relaxed enough for them to come
dick punch you in the soul.
Pardon my French. But that's kind of what the last 2 weeks of my life have been like. So there it is.
Awesome. You're going places, that's for sure.
What do you think 2025 is? What do you think it is for us practitioners? What do I need to do? I'd love to get advice. I'm so open. Graham, if you have advice, I'm listening and I'm asking everybody I'm listening these days.
My answer is to keep your hands, feet, head, and arms inside the ride at all times and just enjoy the ride.
Bill Hicks.
You know,
that stand-up bit. So I love Bill Hicks. And actually, the gentleman who made the Dear Elon video, it was very Bill Hicks. So his name's Sam Hyde. The rest of his work is nothing like this video. As you may or may not know, and it's called Dear Elon, but that bit of a, like, you know, the people who, what was the rest of that? The people who say it's just a dream, it's just a ride, they kill those people.
Yeah.
Remember he said that about like
the great spiritual leaders and I wish Bill Hicks was still alive, man.
Yeah. But, God, what a legacy. What a legacy.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I haven't really, I guess my problem is, and I'm going to do the Gnostic deconstruction, is I hate the fact that this is 2025 when I'm like, F it, you know, new year should start spring first, or the first day of spring. So in mine is like, I'm not even going to play the game, although I'm looking at astrological chart, but I want to change the game, as they say, like Captain Kirk did in the Star Trek movies.
I like that. It's funny too, because
the Chinese zodiac, Chinese astrology, the new year starts at the first new moon, which is going to be January 30th. But it's this idea of micro seasons, kind of like with the I Ching, the Book of Changes as well. So it's the new year, but we still have some of the shadow of the wood dragon. And it's all these like little micro evolutions of energy. And then as we get closer to the wood horse, or excuse me, fire horse at the end of the year, then that changes even more too. And I like that way of looking at it more. And also Western astrology, wouldn't they say that the start of the year is the start of Aries, basically?
Yeah.
In the spring.
So I'm playing trickster on the trickster gods. Let's put it that way.
They love that. They love when you do that.
They think it's funny.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to win in the end, but still, it's how you play, not what you win, as Ursula Le Guin said.
All these masks
slipping because people think it's the before times of if I just lie really good or I just, you know, threaten with my power or whatever it is. And it's like everybody just laughs at you now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's admitted the emperor has no clothes, whatever, in whatever manifestation that is. And I just think people who have a sense of humor or who go, you know, because we're all fallible. I got that wrong. Sorry. People are going to be actually very forgiving in a trickster time. Like, we're all getting disoriented. It's okay. But you can't piss on people's legs and tell them it's raining, I think is going to be the primary difference. That's from, by the way, Judge Judy, American Treasure. Yes. Okay.
Well, I guess the question probably the audience wants to know about is, again, and you with your guests and your work, is the idea of false gurus and who to trust and all that good stuff, especially, I mean, as we're talking, this is the best time to be alive because we can all, the Gospel of Thomas says, if you bring forth what is within you, it will save you. If you do not bring forth what it is with you, it will kill you. So in this day, we can all write books, blog posts, videos, TikToks. We can create spiritual services for other. I mean, we can all be express ourselves. At the same time, there's never been a glut of courses and spiritual leaders and all this stuff. So how do you separate the wheat from the chaff, Rachel, in this day and age?
Yeah, there's a few different ways.
One thing that I'm contemplating now, courtesy of Sam Hyde, Graham, is the concept of Philip K. Dick actually was the first one to coin this term or to use it in this way in Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is kipple, which is this term for like
hoarding,
garbage, litter, mess that just self-replicates when you're not looking at it. Just stuff, quantity. That's all disposable and hollow, and there's nothing in it. There's nothing real. There's no care. There's no craftsmanship. And so one thing I would encourage people to do is I personally like to read content or listen to podcasts where they're talking about a thing that's a good in and of itself. Very Aristotle, Nicomachean ethics thing. I'll learn about beekeeping or hunting bears or playing, being a curling athlete, right? But I don't want to listen to people that have six bullet points on how to become successful in 6 months. Like that, the parasitic noise on top of the real stuff, I think has to go. So if you're out there looking around, you know, always remember that people have a profit motive for everything that they're creating. It may not be the only reason they're creating it, but they do. That's just honest. Yeah. And so they have an incentive to get you to think that they can help you. And they may not necessarily be able to, and it's not going to matter to them anyway, because they're going to make money from you signing up one way or the other, right? And it's a numbers game for them. And I would encourage people to look for individuals that are deeply obsessive about the thing itself. You know, like if someone wants to talk about tarot with me, you'll see full tism in bloom with me because I'm obsessed with it and I'm always learning about it. And, you know, with shamanism, it's like
practice area that you
never stop learning. It's so immersive and expansive, and you always come away with more questions than you have answers. So just look for people that are kind of obsessed with the thing itself, that are deep on what the thing can do for you, not what they can do for you, from an ego place. And also this idea of like 6 days to six figures, or you know, if I want to meet a totem animal, these are the three things I do, like a quick little video. All of that's nonsense. That is not how spirituality works at all, at all. That is the kibble. That is content pollution. It is noise, and it self-replicates when you turn your back on it.
Beautifully said. Ah, love it. You brought Philip K. Dick. He's one of the official saints of this show. We've done many shows. In fact, today I put out a graphic. Today is January 8th, so it's a holy day. It is Elvis's birthday, Bowie's birthday, and Roy Batty's birthday. If you look at Blade Runner, that's when he was created. January 8, 2016. 4 years. So he passed January 8, 2020, right when the world fell apart. So
time to die. Yeah.
Tears and rain.
I don't think people realize
how, speaking of people that were obsessed with the thing, how obsessed Philip K. Dick was with Sumeria and Sumerian cuneiform tablets. And, you know, all of that sort of Zachariah Sitchin stuff. Yeah. And it's so obvious if you watch the movies, even the new one with that Denis Villeneuve did. I thought it was good. And I was surprised. I was very pessimistic and skeptical because I just love the original canon of Blade Runner. Yeah, right. But the pyramids, the whole idea of like, it's very Westworld too. Like, who made humans? What are we really? And it's more about our story, I think, than anything resembling a replicant, honestly.
Yes,
I was named after Rachel in the original Blade Runner.
Oh, really? Awesome.
My parents were in college and like not that deep. They went and saw that movie and named me after a replicant, which I think is very funny.
Yeah, well, Sean Young was just mesmerizing, hypnotizing in that movie. I remember 12 years old. I was like, oh, this is what it feels to be in love or infatuated.
She's a great example of people, actors, actresses, just humans used to look interesting. You know, are you familiar with Justine Bateman at all and her work? So she's like my new spirit animal. I love her. And she's talking about like, stop walking on eggshells, make what you want to make, stop apologizing to people. And she's very anti simulacra with plastic surgery and things like that. And she wrote a book, I think, called Face about like allowing yourself to be interesting looking. And when you go back and you look at Blade Runner, Sean Young was beautiful, but she looked normal. She looked like someone you might meet in life. Mm. And now we watched a Netflix movie the other day, and one of the actresses I was convinced was AI because of the filler and the symmetry. And there was something unnerving and uncanny valley about it to me. And so with regard to Kipple, the other thing I would recommend people look for is, don't be drawn in just because someone looks kind of perfect or their aesthetic is a certain way, or all of that's really intentionally curated. I am more drawn to people that look like real people. They're interesting looking, whether it's their physical, like literal appearance, this, you know, meat sack, or what they wear. You know, are they an original in some way? Because that tends to indicate someone who's touched spirit a little bit. It kind of changes you via osmosis. It makes you weird in a good way. And just if everybody looks the same, they all wear the same goddamn outfit and the white pashmina and everything else, it's like, it looks like they all came out of a factory. It's a bad sign.
It is indeed. Well, I want to bring in Graham because in a sync, I've known Graham for about 10, 15 years, and he's one of the great fake guru hunters that I've seen. He's been doing this for a long time, and he makes no bones, and he brings the receipts, sometimes like book length receipts.
Guys on the podcast, if you want to come on, I'd love to. We'll talk about it today, but I'm so pumped about this. Please, Graham. Sure.
Graham, let us know.
I was going to say one of my big rules is, you know, when it comes to trust, you know, one of my little snippets is do not trust yourself, trust others even less. And it's a matter of, you know, you got to come to your best conclusions, knowing your best conclusions are going to be flawed at times. And
to change your mind.
Yeah. And one of my big tests is I see, you know, the false gurus as part of a larger problem of narcissism. Okay. Which is a matter of people who see hurting others and profiting from it as a perfectly acceptable way to go through life. And I detect them using what I call DHI, decency, honesty, integrity, where how do they treat other people? How do they treat, you know, the least amongst us? Honesty, do their words match what you can actually tell about reality around yourself? And integrity, do their actions match their words? Or do they just say something and do something else instead?
And Mark Vicente said he learned making empathy not included. I've got to connect you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's my way of doing it, is basically those three hurdles and everybody falls on them. And if they do, do they apologize or do they blame others for them falling? If they blame others, that's a dead giveaway. If they sit there and say, sorry, what can I do better? You're dealing with somebody you can probably trust. Tag.
It's interesting because Keith Raniere, who led Nexium, right? He would tell everybody and everybody would repeat that he was a renunciate, that he didn't have any money, he didn't have a home, he didn't have sex. And then they would watch him in the hallways kissing everybody on the lips and grabbing ass. And they were like, and they did a weird cult thing where they were like, but we've been told he's a renunciate, so there must be an explanation for this. And it's like, no, you're looking at the explanation. He's gross. And he lied, you know, so Mark's primary focus, you know, cause I asked him this question when he was on my podcast, he goes, watch what they do. Do not listen to what they say. Yeah. It's very simple. Yeah. Cause generally too, the way someone does one thing is how they do everything. If they're rude to servers, bartenders, housekeepers, Lyft or Uber drivers, they're rude. That's who they are.
Yeah, very true. And I know sometimes it's hard. I mean, I wanted to bring up Jeff Foxworthy. You may be a redneck. You may be in a cult. I'm sure I've been in cults. And most of the time is because I wanted the pain to stop. Same reason I got into drugs, you know, and because I wanted the pain to stop and I would do anything for the void to be filled. And these figures offered salvation. It was only now later in my life where, like Jung said, he said, nobody's coming to save you. You are going to save yourself. There are people on the way that will help you and then you move on, but nobody's coming to save you. You're in charge of stopping your pain.
Well, and the spirit, you know, is the theme of the Wood Snake Year. And I know that I sound kind of like black-pilled, I think, when I communicate with people about it, but no one's coming to save you. They're just not. This sense of like mommy, daddy government or mommy, daddy guru or whatever it is. This
or Trump or Musk or Kamala. Yes. They're not coming to save you. They got their agendas.
And they're not incentivized to. And what's more, and I think this is even more powerful, even if they wanted to, I don't know that this is within their control anymore. I don't think this is the world as we knew it before. And I just see this as a time to really get real, focus on yourself, focus on, you know, the people in your life, what's real and what's tangible, and handle that. And this idea too of you suffering unnecessarily for some ideology or cause, like someone's going to hear about you and what come rescue you. They don't care. And if they care, they can't rescue. Everybody's going to be, you know, their bandwidth is going to get eaten up this year handling their own life, I think, in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. And again, it's hard. I mean, I know as I could fall into a relapse, a drug relapse. I could fall into a cult. I always leave that open, part of shadow work, to know. Like you said, trust, Grandma's saying, trust no one. Don't trust yourself either, because the greatest trickster is our egos, and it will pull the rug just like that.
Yeah. And one of the practices I've
put into place kind of formally, both in the one-on-one coaching work I do in my own practice is, yeah, it might be that. We'll see. Right. And giving things some breathing room before attaching to them or being sort of Pied Piper entranced by their shiny ball aspect too. Because, you know, sometimes it's just like meeting people or becoming infatuated with a person. Give it 24 or 36 hours.
Yeah.
That feeling dissipates. It's just a moment.
We start projecting on them. This is,
yes.
We project what we want, this ideal person or leader or,
And same thing with in the world of the unseelie spirits, right? Like we might be like, I had gifts given to me all year by the fairies. And,
you know, I had a friend come by and she goes, oh, well, where's the stuff? I go, it's outside. She goes, what do you mean it's outside? Because it's like nice. Some of it's nice. I got really nice crystals and things like that from them. And I go, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know what's going on out there. It's not coming to my house. Like, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's going to live outside until I figure out what's really going on here, right? I don't need to get Trojan horsed by a bunch of little people.
You got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, for sure. Because you never know. At the same time, we also get people get sucked up in almost as dangerous as gurus is conspiracies. They are like self-sustaining machines. They don't even need a figure. And we could all get trapped up and suddenly you're part of this movement and you've got to like hold the line and dig your heels, even if you obviously know it's wrong or you need to change it. What advice do you have for that? Or what are some of your favorite conspiracies?
Well, I like conspiracy stuff, but I also don't get attached to them and they dissipate with me. So I just have a thing where like I'm inherently kind of agnostic, you know, so I tell people I can play there. I can go stare into hell and I'm wired to do that. But here's why. I would never let an abstract idea, conspiracy, real or fake or whatever it is, impede on my well-being or my happiness. The moment it makes you unhappy, it disempowers you, and it's not adding to your life, you really have to get off the computer and go for a goddamn walk, right? It's good to bear witness. It's good to look at things. It's good to learn. It's good to be open-minded. I mean, a lot of, quote, conspiracy theories, because that term's become way too ubiquitous, have really turned out to be real, actually, in a lot of cases in the last 5 years, which is not helping trust in authorities and things like that. But I know people who get very deep on this, whether it's QAnon or it's the opposite end politically or ideologically from that. And their life degrades, it erodes. You can see it from the outside looking in, but they can't seem to right the ship. And they get very attached in a cult-like way to an outcome of a situation that may or may not be real. Mm-hmm. And it, to me, it's like, my real hardcore favorite conspiracy theories or conspiracy fact, I like Tartaria. Like I like the weird ones. I like the ones about lost recent civilizations and mud floods and when the Nephilim were here and were giants and walked the earth. And, you know, that's like my sweet spot actually. But also I'll tell you, I got into the year before COVID, I started reading all these books randomly about our country's bioweapons history after World War II and Project Paperclip. I read a great book called Poisoner in Chief, brilliant, about Sidney Gottlieb, who started MKUltra and our bioweapons program. And so when that all unfolded, I was like, huh, that's weird. One of those. And also
maybe it was a mistake to bring Nazis here, the worst of them, and put them in charge of clandestine things in our country. And maybe we haven't really been the same since that happened. And there's an occult angle to that. As you know, the Nazis were obsessed with the occult, truly. Like it was not an aesthetic. They had the Vril in rooms. They were trying to dig things up. That's where that whole Indiana Jones series comes from.
Yeah. They wanted real the Holy Grail, efforts. Everything, yeah. Spear of Destiny.
They wanted Antarctica pretty hard, which is interesting. All of it's pretty interesting. So I would say they're interesting and you can learn a lot. But the minute it's making you unhappy in a way where there's nothing you can do about it and you feel disempowered and you feel out of control and it just fills you with anxiety and dread, take a break. Take care of yourself. That's inner child work too. It's like, we had our fun. We ate a bag of candy. Now we feel sick. Now we're going to like, you know, chill out a little bit on this. I've just seen a lot of my friends just they're really miserable and they have a lot of anxiety and they feel like everything's spinning out of control right now. And they're very ideologically and politically diverse, but they all sound exactly the same. And they all think the other group is the problem. And I'm like, actually, I think you should just like grow your own food or something, like mix it up a little.
Yeah.
Build something.
Start a podcast. Write a book. You know, it may not make money right away, but like take this energy or these things you're looking at that are sparking these thoughts in you And do something additive for yourself and for others. Transmute it, alchemize it a little bit.
Well said indeed. Yeah. And again, embrace the ambiguity. Know that there's probably no end. Again, it's the cliche. It's the journey, not the destination. For the last, I mean, people are still talking about the JFK assassination. It's not going to end. Just enjoy the ride, like Bill Hicks. Again, in the 60s.
You mean Elvis Jones? Just kidding.
You know, that's a conspiracy. That's one of my favorites.
That's a, I love that one. I love
Alex Jones is Bill Hicks. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or, yeah, Trudeau is, he's
Castro's kid.
He looks more like Castro than his dad, though. That's one where I'm like, maybe. Yeah, I don't know what that even means, though. I don't even know if that's a bad thing. I think being shamans or Gnostics or practitioners, we're a little bit more comfortable going like, I don't know what it means. It's just really interesting. Whereas other people are like, but we have to do something. It's like, I don't know. Do what? What are you talking about? Like, mm-hmm. About what exactly? Yeah, it just is.
Yeah, just notice it and then it no longer will have power over you. That's it. Just keep an eye on things. And know this,
how do you feel about the UAP UFO thing right now?
Oh, my God. we've done plenty of shows on this. I mean,
it's so noisy.
There's all these conspiracy theories and letters being sent to Sean Ryan's podcast and show. And the guy in Vegas who blew up the Cybertruck is connected to anti-gravity technology or whatever the hell's going on. And it's funny.
2025, the year of the drone. Yep.
Last year I was writing a lot about how I just kept getting a hit that whatever these things are, because I had my first UFO experience 2 years ago.
Oh.
And it was singular and it was telepathic. And the hit I got was like, they're just here with us.
Like I view them more as
ultra-terrestrials.
Yeah,
and John Keel, yeah, he did a great job of being like, they show themselves as however they want to be seen, man.
Yeah. And they are tricksters.
That's trickster business
up in the sky. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the best way. And of course, there's a lot of misinformation. Anything coming out of the government. You know, the saying, never believe anything until the government has denied it. Stop believing in things when the government admits it. Because, you know, they're lying.
Well, that was like the
United Healthcare CEO thing. Like, if it's that on the news, I'm instantly sort of like, meh, I'm not going to give this a lot of energy, whatever this is, because they're really on it. And they dressed him up. Did you see exactly like Oswald?
Yes, yes, yes. But and I think that Rachel,
the now window. We're
also, we have that is just the universe playing games. I mean, it does play with the symbols, the synchronicities. That is spiritual, supernatural, how it just starts changing reality.
My husband, the Oswald picture
and then the Luigi Mangione picture together. And I wrote to him and I go, if you look at these pictures side by side, you catch schizophrenia. He was like, that's not funny. I was like, it is funny, actually. Yeah.
Again, it's a wonderful time, but you just embrace the ambiguity. Go with the flow. Go with the trickster. Yeah,
and I think taking breaks
this year, you know, I'm not good at going slow. I'm not very good at taking breaks. I'm kind of like a burst worker, momentum worker. And I just don't think that's going to be a luxury that I can afford this year. I think I have to take breaks. I have to recenter. I have to meditate every day, kind of without exception, even if the meditation's not very fruitful. I don't know that we're going to go that fast this year. And thank God, because last year, I mean, I was really feeling what I would call change fatigue, like learning new skills, doing new things, that upward push of the wood dragon. I'd like it to go more lateral this year. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a saying I always liked. How do you know in a Buddhist monastery that a monk has become enlightened? He stops meditating and pets the cat. That's it. Touch some grass. That's where you're going to find it.
Yeah, and thank God I
have the garden. You know, I make these flower essences behind me. I sell them on Etsy. And really working in the garden, growing everything from like non-GMO organic seed, even if people don't buy them, it's a real thing I'm doing out there. It feels real. It's tangible. It's like the most natural thing. And being a city mouse initially, you know, being from the city of Chicago, this has been a real shift for me too, of like, I can go outside and touch grass or touch borage or touch nasturtium and it works. People say that stuff because it actually works. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Somebody who lived in Chicago, I can relate. Yeah. I think you went to Loyola. I used to walk by there all the time. Beautiful campus.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. And, you know, I think I benefited because I went to Catholic school before that from sort of a Socratic method in a way I didn't know was unique. And a lot of Jesuits are a little bit more Gnostic than not. They're hardcore. Not like the, yeah, they're just, they're, they drink, they have fun. I remember we had a dance at Loyola in college and the priests all showed up with like dates. And I'm pretty sure they were hookers. Like, it was fun, man. They didn't care. And they wanted to talk about Jainism or Hinduism. And they just, it's a different energy kind of where I was allowed to really explore philosophy and theology as core curriculum. And I just thought it was like, ugh, you know, Catholic Church. I had such a weird, spoiled kid attitude about it until I got out into the rest of the world and realized like, oh, that was actually kind of nice, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've loved, well, in 2024 was studying female Christian mystics. They are hardcore punk. Yeah. Julian of Norwich and Teresa, they were intense. And they are some Teresa really intense particular. Ones.
I just got the chills. I just ordered books about St. Teresa. She's recently, very recently come on my radar. And I just beyond all duality, as much as anyone can be. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was burned at the stake, right?
No, no. She was, she had connections in the nobility. So she was able to, you know what I mean? If you've got the connections, you can pay him off. So, but there's a, there's a whole bunch like Christina, the Astonishing. She hated the world. She hung herself for 3 days, didn't die, lived in the woods. I mean, they're hardcore.
Odin too. The 3 days on the world tree, Yggdrasil, and not dying, but ascending. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The more things so, change, the more
they stay the same.
Awesome. Well, as we get to the end, tell the audience about your site. What can they find out about you here? I've got it right here. Totemreadings.com.
Yeah, totemreadings.com. My email's on there. You can also submit a contact form that comes to email with me. That's the best place to reach me. I am passive aggressive at best on Instagram. I don't like being there. I don't really like conducting business there. I'm slow on Messenger. Because I kind of post and ghost on Instagram. So email is Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, at totemreadings.com. Also, the Totem Reading Substack. I'm prolific. You know, I was a professional writer in corporate for a very long time, and I continue to freelance. And write. I try and not generate kibble. That's sort of my focus is, what's something additive that I can write about that feels timely and like someone will be better for having read it? Right. That's, and it's longer form. And I try and make that fun. And then the podcast is the Skeptical Shaman podcast. Season 7 just started with Mark Vicente. And then this coming week, the first part of my interview with Alan Greenfield, former Thelemite Kabbalist ritual magician. I'm calling that episode An Evening with the Sorcerer.
You may or may not know, he's not much of a morning person. And I'm not much of a night person. So I just stay up till 8 o'clock at night.
To hang with him. I know.
Oh, you're a beast.
I had a scotch the whole time. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Did what you had to do. Yeah, yeah. Alan is, of course, a legend. Definitely an OG when it comes to occultism. He's also a Gnostic priest.
He's very polite. He's very sweet. Genuinely. I genuinely have affection for him. And I think he's putting things like you guys are out into the world that are really needed right now. You know, pulling that thread from back in time here is really going to help people.
Yeah, I think you do write a lot. Sometimes the old is a good or just get back to basics. Yeah. So with these traditions.
So thank you.
Oh, pleasure is all ours. Yeah, thanks for good comments in the chat. Good remarks, but first I'll say, Graham, thanks for keeping us company on this journey.
Yeah, Graham. Graham.
Go ahead, Rachel.
I was going to just say, I will
absolutely link to this on my Substack and my website as well, so that we can hopefully get some of my people over here. I like these conversations. I'm going to have to listen to the UAP UFO discussions you've had.
Oh, we've had so many. But yeah, John Keel, I always go back to John Keel and Charles Fort. I think they nailed it. So it's simple.
Yeah, no, I was going to sit there and say something on conspiracies, and that's that I think that conspiracies history is just a list of successful conspiracies. And we're better off just looking at histories in the well past that have been they've already decided the winners. Trying to handicap and play the current field is just—it's a mug's game and not worth the effort. Okay.
Yeah, you're totally right. And just Bill Hicks nailed it. Just have fun,
Enjoy the ride. That's it.
Enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Not real. None of this is real. You're not real. We're stories. We're narrations. The universe is information. That's what we are. One story, irritations in the quantum foam that create something interesting.
A dream about being a person.
Yes, there you go.
To Russ Cole.
Russ Cole, yes. Realize, one of my favorite scenes, most intense scenes, but there's a monster at the end of it.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, Rachel, thank you very much for coming on the show. Really enjoyed it, and good luck with everything. And we look forward to meeting and talking to you sooner rather than later.
Yeah, come on my podcast. I think it'd be fun. We'll bring some hardcore Gnosticism to the Love and Light Crystal Hippie ladies.
I'm game. Let's do it. Yeah. They won't want to hear about the Archons. All right. Thank you. And for everybody else, have a good rest of your day and take care. And as I say, write your own gospel, live your own myth.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply, subject to approval.